The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse.
The beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
We're back.
just when you thought it was safe to go back to your iPod.
Yes. Welcome for November 4th.
I was going to say it's not 11-11. What are you doing?
I'm so excited about that convergence of dates that I'm just looking forward to it already. No, November 4th, 2010. And I'm Derek Gilbert.
I don't hear you very loudly in my ears at all. Did you turn yourself way down or something?
No, I don't know what's going on.
He's just going crazy over there. We've got new mixers, we've got new mic booms, we've got new desks, and new Delhi coming up, in addition to Mumbai and all kinds of other goodies to talk to you about tonight.
Well, we're trying to balance it out. How's that? Does that sound better?
That sounds much better.
Okay, yeah. So it's probably need to move the mixer closer, but you're right. The levels look better now, so we should it'll all come out in the mix.
Can we just make Sam the producer and him in a little sound booth?
Well, he gets executive producer credits.
He does.
Yeah.
He would love that, too.
So,
but anyway, yeah, there's a lot going on. Boy,
absolutely.
I tell you, 2 days off and the world goes mad.
Yeah, of course, we had the elections here in the United States, which resulted in an historic change of power, at least in the House of Representatives. The Senate's still in Democratic hands. And, of course, Barack Obama's still in the White House. But, I think –
he's in the White House for now.
For now. There was a really interesting line that – Charles Krauthammer on Fox used this line that he said that the American people just delivered a restraining order to the Obama administration.
I think that's a wonderful line. I really do. Well, there was a – I'm looking on PID Radio to see if I actually posted the story because I thought it was such an interesting one. But there was a world leader meeting with Hillary Clinton today who instead of calling her Secretary Clinton
– yeah.
Referred to her as President Clinton.
Oops.
Yep.
I wishing
he had a do-over, but then again, maybe he's just...
Yeah, a little bit of a Freudian slip.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was just spending a little time in, you know, sort of a future world because everything is indeed connected, right?
Yes. President Obama celebrates this historic overturn of power by heading out of
the country. He's heading for India. And so many things are going on. For one thing, he is taking 34 warships with him, 40 planes, 6 armored cars, and a partridge in a pear tree.
You beat me to the line.
I know. I can see him by the look on your face. But India is also preparing for his visit, among other things. They have removed the coconuts from the trees anywhere close to where he is walking, lest he be knocked on the noggin.
And I see that they're deploying monkey catchers.
Yes, can you believe that? And they're building in 1 hour, the military is going to build a tunnel so that Obama can visit the Gandhi Museum.
Okay. They need a tunnel for this?
Yes.
Why?
Because there are skyscrapers over the area where he would walk that they don't feel that they can protect him adequately.
Sure, sure.
So they're putting a temporary tunnel. It's just that so much money is being spent. In fact, India is reporting that it's $200 million a day.
How long is he going to be over there?
Oh, just a few days.
But $200 million a day, that adds up pretty quick.
It adds up pretty quick. He's going to be in India, then he's going to Indonesia, then he's going to round it all out by going to Korea for the G20.
Okay. This is a pretty expensive trip.
I'm not really. Did you just make a little noise?
No. The little program that we're using to play the sound carts just sent a little note saying, if you like the software, you should register. Well, we're doing
that. We'll do that later.
We decided
get off our backs.
decided to do that after the show. Yeah, found a virtual cart machine. If there's anybody, if you know what that is for, you know, radio experience, you know what a cart machine
you,
is.
Radio geeks, you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, found one that's available for home use, basically, for the Mac. So it's like even more like a studio in here. But we're using.
Thank you, Mr. Burns.
Trying the trial version right now. And so anyway, that was a little reminder.
We like to try free things first.
Yeah.
That's our mantra.
Right. So anyway.
What are these?
Those were underneath the old mixer to keep it from.
Those of you who are sitting there and thinking, what did you just ask him about? Well, I'm holding something up. They're round. They're circular. Which round and circular that was redundant, wasn't it? One day soon, you will be able to see when I hold up something and ask him, what are these? Because PID video, PID TV, is indeed coming.
Which we promise will not lead to any Jerry Springer moments.
No.
What are these? Oh. No.
Although Sam, you know, he's getting a nip and tuck done. He says, look, if I'm going to be on camera, I want to make sure that they see me at my best.
Yeah. Well,
dachshunds
anyway.
Are like that. But anyway, back to $200 million a day.
34 warships to take a – I mean, this is like gunboat diplomacy, you know, circa 1900. Or what are we going
– Literally gunboat diplomacy.
Well, seriously, this is the kind of thing that used to be done where we'd go and show the flag in various ports of call around the world. Like, 1900 or thereabouts, we'd, sail the Navy to China just to show them who was boss and, give us whatever we want or, we've got these guns over here on this boat.
Yeah, well, when he visits Indonesia, they're going to say, we've got this volcano still erupting.
Well, it makes you wonder, though. I mean, 34 warships in that part of the world. We get to look at a map. I'm so geographically ignorant. How close is the Indian Ocean to like Iran and Pakistan?
I don't think it's terribly far because Pakistan is just on the border, shares a border with India.
Shares a border with Pakistan. Yeah. So the Arabian Sea. If you float a squadron of vessels,
jet ski
in there,
across the Arabian Sea.
Yeah.
A friend on Facebook sent me a link on if you travel from Japan to China on Google Maps.
Yeah, the directions
they give
you. One
of the directions is jet ski across the Japan Sea.
Right. And literally, they show you the little map. It's like, that's open ocean that they're taking you across. Oh, no. Okay, jet ski. See it. Okay. The warships, if they sail to India, depending on where they land, the Arabian Sea is on one side of India, the west side. The east side is the Bay of Bengal. And the west side of the Arabian Sea also borders on Yemen, Oman, and Iran and Pakistan. And Pakistan and Iran, of course, are, we get some issues with those guys right now. And so having the president there with 34 warships and, 200 armored cars.
Armored cars. But who's counting?
Oh, 200 CEOs, yeah.
Yes, that's just the other thing I was going to thank you very much.
So apparently these 200 are clown armored cars to fit the 200 CEOs inside. Barnum & Bailey has rented to the United States its armored car fleet for this visit.
you have to wonder, seriously, why are 200 corporate executives going with the president? It's one of two things. Either we are sending our military, our executive branch, and the corporations out of the country in the event that something really bad happens here in the next 10 days, or he's taking his family with him, by the way.
Oh, interesting.
Or they are going over there to make big deals in India. But why would they go over there with the president?
Well, he's the outside salesman. They're the board of directors. I mean, seriously, when we look at the United States, which is essentially – I know that there
is – Does he buy pizzas for everybody?
Could be. Brings donuts and bagels when he goes and calls.
No, he's expecting donuts and bagels. He's not bringing anything to the table. They're taking the coconuts down.
Yeah, but – behind the scenes.
Yeah, I'm betting a monkey gets through that.
The cordon?
Yeah, exactly. It only takes one monkey, people.
Yeah, the lone monkey.
With a coconut.
Oh, this show has taken a very strange turn. Well, you know, but seriously, I know there's a theory out there that the United States is really a corporation, and that as such, we don't go there, okay? But in a sense, America is a corporation in that many of the policies of the United States for decades, 100 years or more, have been dictated by the business elite of the United States. And the Western world. I mean, you know, the Bilderberg Group, if you want to, you know, apply a name to them. But, I mean, you know, look back at the 1920s when the U.S. Marines were going into Caribbean nations on behalf of United Fruit, for example.
Mm-hmm. But that's not unique to the U.S.
It is not unique. No, absolutely not. I mean, the European nations did that with Africa and all the colonies mm-hmm. that they set up there. Certainly mm-hmm. the same thing. The advanced – and it goes back all through history. You get a country with advanced military, and they go in and loot and pillage and, you know, resettle the natives. You know, the Assyrians were doing it in mm-hmm. 700 B.C. And, mm-hmm. It's eternal. It has not changed. The only thing that's changed really are the technology of the weapons being employed. So when I say, you know, the board of directors and the outside salesmen are going to India – it's in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And Barack Obama, yeah, he'll be protected from flung monkey poo, but he is going there to try to sell America Co.
You're playing with your little things that I just handed you.
These little rubber things are pretty – these are, you know, little mats that were to try to, you know – because the keyboard,
you know, it's
was
like
wobbling
that stuff
on
that
the old desk.
It's like that stuff that you buy now that is put in your shelf. You know, cushy liner paper.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're really neat. Actually, they're similar to the things that stop your rugs from slipping on mm-hmm. your floor.
Yeah.
But they're a nice circular thing, and they're great. They are to put underneath the keyboard because they slide.
Two of them under the mixer on this side because there's a join here on the desk that's not quite level.
I know. So, and aren't you a smart guy?
Yeah. Well, these were a great buy.
By the way, your
dollar
little
store. Love it.
Mic hat is bigger than mine. You're taller than I am, too.
Well,
so that's okay.
Yeah, probably why. So Barack Obama's visit to India and
President Hillary Clinton in the meantime. That is so funny.
There's a theory that's been floating. I didn't know if you wanted to go here yet, but this is something I've not been keeping up with, but you have. The WebBot project and this Time Wave Zero. What is all of this about?
Well, you know, Time Wave Zero was proposed by – I'm trying to remember the name of the guy, and you're going to – sorry, you went there when I wasn't quite – didn't have my thing. Just play for time.
Okay.
If I could – tap dance.
Yeah.
Find this, if you have ever listened to the Road Hog album.
Oh, by the Statler Brothers?
By the Statler Brothers. It is done as if they are a radio show
mm-hmm.
and they have a tap dancer on there.
Yeah.
And all you hear is – that's all you hear.
Yeah, mighty fine, mighty fine.
That's a good one.
Yeah, well, yeah, funny stuff.
no, I'm trying
to find
the name. By
the way, we note that the San Francisco Nephilim won the World Series this year, which we thought was kind of interesting. Coincidence?
No, we think not. There was a lot of partying going on out there.
Yeah, well, they haven't seen parties until the Cubs finally break through, and that I predict will happen next year. Which I've said every year since 1969. So,
yeah, I know.
There are
Terrence McKenna. I found it while you were, you know, playing for time.
Thank you
very much.
Okay.
Apparently, back in the 1970s, Terrence McKenna took some recreational.
Yeah.
And one of those was DMT.
Ah, okay.
And he is no longer with us. He has now passed on to whatever awaited him, and he came up with a theory that what goes around comes around
mm-hmm.
and creates itself again.
Karma.
It's sort of. It's really the Ouroboros. It's mm-hmm. this notion that have you ever seen the movie? I know you have, so I'm asking this of our listeners. Have you ever seen the movie The Neverending Story?
Mm-hmm.
That sums it up.
Okay.
It's recursion. It's what I was talking about Canton, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
It's this notion of creation out of creation. It's really cheesed at us. I didn't like what I had to say. But it's the Ouroboros, and that is in the Neverending Story, the whole imaginary world, just almost down, I think it was all but one final grain of sand mm-hmm. that disappeared. And it had to be recreated mm-hmm. in its entirety from the imagination of this little boy. And it could only be done by having this little grain of sand. Think of that grain of sand as being time wave zero.
The final grain of sand. Okay.
Or the null point.
Mm-hmm. The singularity.
It is. It is. If you have two opposing factions, one is zero and one is anti-zero, and each of them has this big pyramid behind them of time, and the two of them come together at that point. It's like the snake and the tail. Well, Terence McKenna had this, excuse me, had a computation that he used to figure out when events would happen in not only when they have happened in the past, but using that to figure out what the future held. And in the 1970s, he came up with the idea that in the year 2012, and he said September 2012, that we would reach the zero point when the biggest change ever, in other words, creation would happen again, anew. And I think New Agers would call that the evolution to the next step.
This is also called novelty theory.
It's called a number of things. When McKenna saw John Major Jenkins' calculations about the 13th Bakhtun, excuse me, and that it was going to be in December of 2012, he said, "Oh, that's hold on, wait here." And he came back, and he said his was also December of 2012, not September. But there have been recent there is software out there that you can actually download and run, you know, estimations of what's going to happen in 2010, what's going to happen in 2011. And there are some who have run this software, and it is showing, again, this is not by biblical prophecy.
No,
so
by no
only
means.
If a prophet who is really anointed by the Lord comes and says, "Thus saith the Lord," but this is what the enemy is saying.
Right.
And again, you and I have talked about this before. The enemy is the prince and the power of the air.
Mm-hmm.
And he is in control of the internet. He is in control of speaking to people's minds when they take mind-altering drugs, because these are gateways to the other world. And I think I've not read the all the writings of McKenna, but if I understand it correctly, he himself admitted that there was a group he referred to as they, you know, the they, that spoke to him when he would take DMT.
Yeah.
And revealed these things to him. Anyway, the calculations that have been done with this software recently are showing a major event taking place in November of 2010.
That's now.
And the time window is between, is right about now through
the 8th through the 11th.
Well, that was the original time window.
Oh, okay.
And I think
okay.
part of that is not only the calculation, but also Half Past Human. If you take a look at their calculations, where they comb the internet to see what is being discussed and
right.
in every sector you can imagine, they originally predicted also 11/8. November 8th.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're saying November 5th.
Oh, well, that's tomorrow.
That is tomorrow.
Now, again, we don't bring this up to say that, you know, this is something that we as Christians should be freaking out about, that we should, you know, take this seriously. And,
not at all.
We're bringing this up because this is something, as Sharon said, that the enemy is putting out there. And to be, you know, not ignorant of the devices of the enemy, we present this mm-hmm. to you as information to consider. You know, no man knows the day or the hour of Christ's return. There may be bad things. In fact, we're told in the Bible that, you know, bad things will happen mm-hmm. before the time of the end. Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places, and so mm-hmm. forth. So, you know, be on guard, be watchful, be sober and vigilant. But
exactly.
Don't be afraid, because we as Christians are not given a spirit of fear. And
this is no more different than being able to read a missive sent by the enemy to, say, the generals back home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Intercepting enemy transmissions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you understand this whole webbot concept? And I know that there are others who will talk about the webbots and give the webbots a lot of credence. And who knows, maybe they can pick up on things that are memes in a similar way that just looking at the trends on of Google searches can, mm-hmm. can pick up on trends.
They might, but I think it's more than that. I think it's spiritual.
Well, it may well be. Isn't the concept of this, though, you know, that we have sort of a collective consciousness, mm-hmm. very Jungian?
Oh, it's very
New Age?
Very, very much so. And it gets into a lot of communication theories that you and I have talked about before, this notion of paired molecules and paired.
Oh, entangled pairs.
Yeah, entangled pairs. Sorry. Brain is shutting down. I've had a migraine most of the evening, and so I'm really struggling past it to try to talk. You and I have talked about that entangled pairs. Well, it goes mm-hmm. way beyond that if you get into torsion field theory and this communication of one field with another, and you get into the hive mind kind of thing. And we're really talking about a point where Neo wakes up.
In the Matrix films, yeah. Where he is suddenly discovered that he's got the power to transform reality itself through the power of his mind. He mm-hmm. has achieved gnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's what many who are excuse me, I'm so sorry, who are New Agers, they're looking at this time wave zero point and mm-hmm. saying that is when we're going to evolve or ascend or whatever you want to call it.
Hit the singularity.
We're going to sing. They're going to hit the Bill Murray moment. Achieve total consciousness.
Like Carl, the groundskeeper from Caddyshack. Are you sure I got that going for me? Hey, Lama.
Oh, gosh. Well,
and this is interesting. And I've been reading a novel slowly because I don't have nearly the time to read for fun that I used to have. But a science fiction novel by author Charles Stross, who is clearly a brilliant man and a very gifted writer, but not a Christian. You can tell from the views expressed in the novel. At least that is my perception. I might be wrong. I don't think so, but I might be wrong. The title of the novel is called Accelerando, and it is a rather lengthy work. He says it took him 5 years to write and started as a collection of short stories, but it essentially shows one family through several generations as it moves through the singularity point and the changes that take place where, you know, corporations are essentially just, you know, software programs running business models, and people are essentially multiple consciousnesses that are tied together through these technological enhancements that kind of surround them. The solar system is being mined and turned from dumb matter, in air quotes, to computanium, which sounds bizarre, but it's not as far-fetched as you might think, because there are people out there who are looking actually at ways. I mean, Dr. Ray Kurzweil, who's the head mm-hmm. of the Singularity Institute, Singularity University, looking for a way to turn the universe into a substrate for a mass consciousness.
Well, imagine if everybody were wearing a graphene suit.
Yeah, mm-hmm, exactly. It's that sort of thing that's depicted in the novel. And so I think it's very instructional from that perspective, just to read at, some speculation as to how this might all play out. Multiple copies of oneself. Operating in different places at the same time, you know, by location. Hey, that's a very New Age Eastern mystical or occult concept. And then, you know, through being uploaded to a computational substrate somewhere out there, you essentially achieve, well, total consciousness, and you live forever. So you get that going for you. And that is where the singularity movement is headed. That is... And like I said, this whole concept of the WebBot project trying to tap into the collective mm-hmm. consciousness as represented by our communications over the internet is...
We're influencing it right now by what we're talking about.
We are. And we're influencing the NSA. Hello, boys. Thanks for listening.
Hello, boys. Well, speaking of spies, over in the UK, the Mail Online is reporting that there is now a speed camera that not only checks your speed,
mm-hmm.
it also checks to see if you're wearing your seatbelt. Checks to see if you have insurance and if you've paid your taxes.
I see. watch for things like that here in the United States. Oh, and by the way, you haven't paid for your health insurance, so we're going to have to add that to your income tax, mm-hmm. which you haven't paid, so we're going to impound your car.
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, the Mount Merapi in Indonesia has mm-hmm. continued. It's day 10 now of its eruption cycle, and scientists are saying it. They really don't know what to expect from it. I think it's behaving in ways that are puzzling to the volcanologists.
Uncharted territory?
Yeah, well, yeah. I think so. And they have expanded the danger zone from 10 meters, 10 meters, yeah. 10 miles or so, to kilometers, I guess it would be, to 15. So many more thousands of people have had to be removed from the area around it for safety. And speaking of safety and weather things, I don't know where Tomas is right now, but it was heading for Haiti the last time I looked. And people definitely don't need that.
Yeah, as if Haiti hasn't suffered enough this year, Tropical Storm Tomas.
Well, you know, we've been doing this now for over 5 years, mm-hmm. almost 5.5 years, and as far as PID radio, but you and I were looking at things long before that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, and I've been studying about wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and the various signs that Jesus told us about. I've been studying about those since I was about 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time, people. And I'm getting cranky, too. Now, I think we are now seeing such an increase in those signs. I mean, they were going on when I was a kid. They were mm-hmm. going on in the early 20th century. They have really increased.
Yeah, things that Jesus told us to watch for as signs of his imminent return.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, the first century Christians thought his return was imminent then too, and imminent to the Lord may mean something different. Well, certainly means something different than it does for us.
Well, it's been about 2,000 years, and that's, you know, That's not even a microsecond to the Lord.
Right. So, but yes, we are to watch these things. And again, not from a spirit of fear, but just as sober and vigilant Christians trying to stay on top of what the enemy has got planned for us, because we are not wrestling against flesh and blood opponents here.
No, we are not. By the way, you cannot get a Happy Meal now in San Francisco. They're unhappy meals.
San Francisco, California is just turning into a real unhappy place because you can't use your welfare card at Psychics anymore either.
No. It's no fun.
I know. Well, you know, I guess you can understand why. I mean, you get a welfare card. They hope that you're going to use it to provide basic needs of your family, and presumably getting guidance from a psychic is not one of those
needs. You know, I read that story, and according to what the story said, research has shown that about 50% of the money used by those debit cards goes to ATMs in those casinos. So that's why they're assuming that people must be. All the other ATMs were closed. It's the only place I could go.
Closest ATM.
I really needed the cash right away to go get some Happy Meals. I can't even get the Happy Meals now?
California, here we go. Just leave it behind. Come back to the Midwest where people are sane.
Stab it with their steely knives.
Well, this weekend I'm going to talk about a couple of things that are really disturbing. Politics, for one, not so disturbing necessarily.
That is disturbing.
Yes, this is a disturbing universe. Patrick Wood of the August Review will talk about the implications of the election results and whether this means the end for globalism. Ha! And we'll also talk with Nick Bryant, investigative journalist, author of The Franklin Scandal, about one of the most disturbing pedophile scandals in American history. So that is on View from the Bunker Live, Friday night, 10 p.m., blogtalkradio.com/PID radio.
You don't want to miss that. Well, you know what? I think we're out of time.
Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org. Gonna step up to the microphone.